Well, tonight I'd like to share with you the story of St. Maria Goretti. Her feast day was just a few days ago on July 6th. She's in this book called Modern Saints, one of my favorite books on the saints, because it has saints from the last 100 or last 150 years. Here's some paintings and pictures of the young St. Maria Goretti. So let's talk about her life a little bit and her background. She was one of the youngest martyrs in the history of the church. She was 11 years old when she gave her life for Christ and in defense of the virtue of purity. She would have been 12 years old that October, but she was killed in July of her 11th year of birth. As one of the authors says, he says, the canonization of St. Maria Goretti was not based on a single moment struggle against sin, but upon her patient and heroic practice of virtue through her entire short life. To die rather than to sin was a far more natural choice for Maria than was the alternative to sin in order to avoid death. Let's take a look at first her parents. Her mother's name was Assunta. She herself was an orphan. She had never learned to read or write, but she married a military man, Luigi, and they began a life of farming together. And they had very little in the way of material possessions, but they had great love of God, our Blessed Mother, and each other. And even though Assunta had never gone to school, she did learn about her Catholic faith through attending Mass and by loving her husband and having great devotion to God and tender devotion to our Blessed Mother. They were blessed with a son, but he died soon after death. They were blessed with a second boy, and then they were blessed with a young girl. And in thanksgiving of having this young girl, they named her Maria Teresa after Our Lady and after Saint Therese of Avila. She was baptized the day after her birth. Because her mother, Assunta, had such a hatred of original sin, she did not want her daughter to have any longer time having original sin in her soul, so she had her daughter baptized the day after her birth, so her daughter would be freed from original sin as soon as possible. Maria and her brother were also confirmed at the young age of infancy as well, which was a practice in Italy at the time. The family grew to four more children, but they always had poverty in their family. They had very few possessions. Maria, as a young girl, never owned a doll. She was never able to attend school. She just had to help her mother and father with the younger children. And the family lived in one part of Italy, but their property was so small they could not grow enough food. So at the age of six, the family moved to another part of Italy, and at this time they moved to a place called the Pontine Marshes. And around the marshes there were rampant diseases, especially malaria carried by mosquitoes. The air was bad, but that's the only place the family could move to. And they moved in with another family, the Serinelli family. And they had a 16-year-old boy named Alessandro, who we'll hear about in a few moments, who would eventually kill Maria. They worked together, these two families worked together in this property, trying to have a farm and raise enough food for their families to eat. Maria was a beautiful young girl with long brown hair. But she was also had such a beautiful soul, always being so cheerful, taking care of her younger brothers and sisters. On one occasion, she went to the grocery store, as it was one of her jobs, and the grocer gave her an apple and said, "This is for you." And Maria said, "I'm going to actually give it to my younger brother. He likes apples more than me." So then the grocer said, "This cookie is for you." Well, she explained she was going to give that to her little sister, who liked cookies. So the grocer says, "Well, I have to give you something." So he gave her another cookie, and Maria ate it as an act of gratitude to the grocer. But that was her qualities: so generous, so kind, so cheerful, obedient, and friendly. Well, her father died a few years later. Maria was only 9 years old when her dad died. He died of diseases caught, malaria, typhus, pneumonia, because of where they lived. And so now Maria would be turning 10. She did all the cooking, ran all the errands, and helped her mother in babysitting the children. The mother had to go out into the fields and work in the fields to take the place of her husband. And Maria was a beautiful young girl with a deep spirituality. She prayed often. She wore the rosary around her wrist so that when she had a few moments, she would say a few Hail Marys. And so her mother would be the one out working in the fields, and Maria had to do the household chores and the cooking. So the family continued to descend deeper and deeper into poverty. And so at this time, you know, since Maria, you know, could not attend school, she had no formal education. She would listen to the homily at church and then come back and teach the younger children the Bible stories. Again, always so filled with joy and cheerfulness in the midst of the poverty and the loss of her dad when such a young girl. The other thing Maria wanted to desperately do was to receive her first Holy Communion. But because she was unable to read and because of their poverty, her mother said, "No, you don't have a proper dress, you don't have proper clothes, and so we'll do it when we can." And Maria said, "Well, God will provide." Eventually, in the spring of 1902, when she was 11 years old, she was able to make her first Holy Communion. Some of the families in the neighborhood donated a dress, as well as a veil, a pair of new shoes, and a candle, and a wreath of flowers that she wore for her head. The priest who gave her a first communion told the first communicants to have purity at all costs. And Maria listened very carefully and absorbed that lesson, because she would actually die for the virtue of purity in just 2 months from the day of her first communion. During the month of June, Maria Goretti received communion 4 more times. So she only received communion 6 times in her entire life. Imagine. And yet that strength of receiving communion gave her the grace to die for Christ. So during the month of June, Alessandro, who was now almost 20 years old, was also living in the family home, had twice made advances to her, but on both occasions, Maria refused, and because of her virtue of purity, her soul was revolted by his advances. On both occasions, Alessandro threatened to kill her if she ever mentioned the matter to anyone. If she told her mother or anyone else about his advances, again, he threatened to kill her. And it was not her fear of death, but the fear of bringing worry to her mother and financial ruin to the family. But so she kept as far away from Alessandro as she could. Well, what about Alessandro? What was his background? They say that his father was a very stern and harsh father, and his mother had died when he was quite young. And as a young man, he worked among the docks and was exposed to all sorts of vices. He had some education, but was a quiet and shy boy, kept in his room most of the time reading violent newspapers. And he would always read stories of murders and brutality in the newspapers, so he had very unhealthy reading. As you know, garbage in, garbage out. He continued to absorb these immoral materials in his reading. But he would go to Mass frequently, and even joined in saying the family rosary, and was a hard worker out in the fields. And Alessandro first noticed how beautiful Maria was when they were praying the family rosary. He also noticed that she really prayed. She didn't simply move her mouth, but she truly prayed. On the morning of July 5th, 1902, the Goretti's and the Serenrelli's were out working in the field about 130 yards from the house. Maria was on the landing, on the porch, mending some clothing, watching over her little baby sister who was sleeping. Alessandro left the fields and came into the house. He walked past Maria, went to his room, and came out carrying a handkerchief, and then he went to the storeroom downstairs. Later it was learned that he had sharpened a 10-inch knife, and then came back into the house and called Maria to come inside, and she refused. And she said, "Tell me why." He kept demanding her to come inside. When she didn't, he went out to the porch and dragged her inside the house. And according to Alessandro's later testimony, when he tried to make advances on her, Maria shouted, "No, no, no. What are you doing? Do not touch me. It is a sin. You will go to hell." And she instinctively fought to preserve her honor. It says, Maria thought even at this time of the sin which would condemn Alessandro to hell. He stuck the handkerchief in her mouth and again tried to attack her. She continued to refuse, and he was not able to touch her. Because of her determination to preserve her purity and to not have him commit a mortal sin, he took out his knife and began stabbing her in the chest, in the throat, in the upper part of the body. 14 times she was stabbed. The baby on the front porch started crying, and that awakened Alessandro's father, who was also sleeping outside at the foot of the stairs. And then Assunta also ran to the house, the mother, and Maria had dragged herself to the front door of the house. Alessandro had gone up and locked himself in his room. When asked what happened, as they saw her, she said, "He wanted to make me do wrong, and I would not." They called, of course, for the doctor, who arrived, tried to bind her wounds. Maria did not cry out in any pain, and she kept saying, "Oh, Alessandro, how unhappy you are. You will go to hell." And the ambulance came, a crowd gathered. The men dragged Alessandro from his room and were going to perhaps hang him or kill him, but the police arrived in time to arrest Alessandro. Maria was taken to the hospital and suffered 20 hours of agony before her death. She was conscious most of the time, but she did not complain. She rarely even moaned with pain. Twice she asked for a drink of water, but the doctors refused because of it would do more internal damage to her because of the wounds. So Maria offered that up without complaint. She also wanted her mother to be by her side during the night, but the hospital had a rule that no visitors could stay overnight, so Assunta was forced to sleep in the back of the ambulance. The priest arrived at Maria's hospital bed, and the doctors had tried to perform surgery, but there was no use. When the priest arrived, the doctor said, "Father, you will have little to do. We are leaving a dying girl, but you are finding an angel." So the same priest who had given Maria her first Holy Communion just a few months before now gave her her viaticum, her last Holy Communion, her communion to lead her soul into heaven. The priest asked if he forgave her murderer with all her heart. Maria replied, without hesitation, "Yes, I too, for the love of Jesus, forgive him, and I want him to be with me in paradise. May God forgive him, because I have already forgiven him." And Maria died at 3:00, looking at a picture of our Blessed Mother and holding a crucifix, a cross over her chest. Maria Alessandro's trial began in October. Originally, he tried to have a plea of insanity, but he was found guilty. But because he was a minor, he was sentenced to 30 years in prison. So he was sent off to a prison in Sicily, where he spent the first 8 years with no sign of remorse or regret for his crime. But then one night, after living with a soul dead in sin, mortal sin for 8 years, he had a dream, and he saw Maria walking towards him in a field of beautiful flowers, and she reached down and picked white lilies and gave them to him, and when he took them, they burnt and crumbled in his hand. When he woke up, he was converted. He was truly sorry for his sin. He wrote to the bishop asking for God's forgiveness for the great sin that he had committed in trying to attack and molest and then ultimately murder this young 11 and a half year old girl. So eventually the bishop did come and hear his confession and reconciled him to the church. He would spend the next 20 some years in prison, but after he got out, the first thing he did was to go to Maria's mother, Assunta, and beg her forgiveness. Assunta had moved the children and the family to another part of Italy, and there she became a housekeeper for the local priest and spent many years working in the parish. The Passionist priest asked Maria's mother for permission to move Maria's body into the sanctuary of Our Lady of Grace, which occurred in 1929. By this time, Alessandro had given his testimony for Maria's process of beatification, and he had been released from prison, was living a quiet life as a laborer. Eventually, he joined the lay Franciscans as a brother, and he was the doorkeeper and gardener of the monastery, and he lived to be 87 years of age. He died in 1970, not that long ago. Alessandro, in his testimony, kept repeating that Maria's thoughts had only been for the good of his soul. Even at the moment of attack, she kept praying for him and for the conversion of his soul. After when Alessandro was getting released from prison in 1937, he went to the mother and he begged her forgiveness. And tearfully, she gave her forgiveness, and she said that, "If my daughter could so easily forgive, then I cannot refuse forgiveness either." And that night, the two of them went to midnight mass together and received communion side by side, kneeling at the communion rail. The mother of Maria Goretti and Alessandro, who had taken her daughter's life. And lastly, 1947, Maria Goretti was beatified by Pius XII. Because she was a martyr, she did not need the required miracles, but eventually, because of her popularity, there were miracles that began to occur through her intercession. She was canonized just 3 years later after her beatification, one of the shortest times ever between a beatification and a canonization, only 3 years. And Maria's own mother was present at the beatification and the canonization. She was an old woman at the time, but she attended as well as Maria's sister and brothers. It was one of the largest crowds ever in the history of Rome's canonizations. 500,000 people attended the canonization of St. Maria Goretti. And Pius XII said she was a martyr for Christ and for the virtue of purity, and that she's the patron saint of youth in this day and age. So that is the story of this great saint, St. Maria Goretti. I do encourage you to get to know her, to ask her intercession. Imagine this young girl had developed so much virtue that she was so close to Christ and she loved Jesus so much and had such a great horror of sin that she was even willing to give her life in defense of the holy virtues.